Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, Text Number 15. We're continuing our discussion of the description of mystic yoga perfections. Vishnu, Triadhishvare, Chittam, Dharayet, Kalavigrahe, Sap, Ishitvam Avapnoti Kshetrajna Kshetra Chodanam. Vishnau Triadhishvare Chittam Dharayet Kala Vigrahe Sa Ishitvam Avapnoti Kshetrajna Kshetra Chodhanam. Vishnau Triadhishvare Chittam Dharayet Kala Vigrahe Sa Ishitvam Avapnoti Kshetrajna Kshetra Chodhanam. Vishnau Triadhishvare Chittam Dharayet Kala Vigrahe Sa Ishitvam Avapnoti Kshetrajna Kshetra Chodhanam. Vishnau Triadhishvare Chittam Dharayet Kala Vigrahe Sa Ishitvam Avapnoti Kshetrajna Kshetra Chodhanam. Vishnu, in Lord Vishnu, the Super Soul, Triadhishvare, the Supreme Controller of Maya, which consists of the three modes of nature, Chittam, the consciousness, Dharayet, one concentrates. Kala, of time, the prime mover. Vigrahe, in the form. Sah, he, the yogi. Ishitvam, the mystic perfection of controlling. Avapnoti, obtains. Kshetrajna, the conscious living entity. Kshetra, the body with its designations. Chodanam, impelling. Translation. One who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the Super Soul, the prime mover, and the supreme lord of the external energy, consisting of three modes, obtains the mystic perfection of controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies, and their bodily designations. Please repeat. One who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the Super Soul, the prime mover, and supreme lord of the external energy, consisting of three modes, obtains the mystic perfection of controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies, and their bodily designations. Purport. We should remember that mystic perfection never enables a living entity to challenge the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. In fact, one cannot obtain such perfections without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Thus, one's controlling power can never disturb the plan of Lord Krishna. One is allowed to exhibit mystic control only within the confines of the law of God. And even a great yogi who transgresses the law of God by his so-called mystic opulences will be severely punished, as revealed in the story of Durvasa Muni cursing Ambarish Maharaj. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vishnauti Adhishvare Chittam Dhariyat Kala Vigrahe Sa Ishitatvam Avapnoti Kshetra Kshetra Kshetrajna Kshetra Chodanam. One who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the Supersoul, the Prime Mover and Supreme Lord of the external energy consisting of three modes, obtains the mystic perfection of controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies, and their bodily designations. Srila Madhvacharya comments on this verse that although a person has every sort of mystic perfection, here called Ishitvam, which basically means lordliness, lording it over, Ishitvam, to be able to lord it over someone else. The fact of the matter is that this is the result of his worship of the Lord. And he quotes from the Shruti, Shruti Mantra, Tam yatha yathopasate tadeva bhavativi. The idea is that however we worship, then we get the same result. Or we become that which we worship. So this is an odd verse you wouldn't expect from Madhvacharya. Because what does it sound like? If you worship God, then what do you become? God. But actually what it means is that we become like that person that we worship. We become like the person that we serve. This is, even ordinary association is also like that. We become like whoever we associate with. So especially if we associate with someone in service, that's how it works. So he doesn't mean that though. He means in accordance with the worship that we perform, we get blessings and we're benedicted accordingly. And if we're worshiping Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, trying to imbibe the teachings of our spiritual master and trying to enter the spiritual platform, then certainly we'll do that. We'll become like Krishna in that way. Tatparatvena nirmala. This is another verse. When we engage our senses in the service of the person who actually owns and controls them, that's being stated here, the Lord, then automatically we become freed from all sarvopadhi vinirmuktam. Sarvopadhi means every kind of designation. And Tatparatve Nirmalam. We also become as transcendental as the Lord is. Nirvana. So, this is the idea. Triadhishware. The word Triadhishware means the Lord of the Threes. What three?
Modes.
Three modes. Anything else? So many threes. The three worlds. So many different categories of threes. The Lord is the controller of all of them. Therefore, he can allow us to control as he wishes. And if we approach the Lord as the Paramatma, who is the prime mover and supreme Lord of the three modes, then we can also get some degree of lordliness, I guess you can say, ishitva. By his grace, this is the point we've been stressing in all these verses so far, that this is happening by the grace of the Lord. So Sridhar Swami comments here, Triadhishware Trigunamaya Nirantari. He is the controller of the Maya of the three modes. You can see how Prabhupada has translated this verse, incorporating these ideas from Sridhar Swami's commentary. They're not explicit in the verse. All it says in the verse is Triadhishware. But Sridhar Swami a little bit unpacks that. He says he's actually the controller of Maya, consisting of the three modes. Therefore, in his form as time, he is the Antaryami. Ishitvam Vishinashti. Then he clarifies what is this lordliness that we're talking about. Kshetra Jnanam Jivanam Kshetranam Tat Upadhinam Cha Chodanam or Preranam. Natu Sarva Srishtyadi Kartritva Lakshanam Ityarthaha. So that means that the three things are mentioned also in the verse itself. Kshetrajna, you can control the person who's conscious of a particular material body. Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Krishna is conscious of the kshetras. Material body, we say, simple way of putting it, but actually kshetra means much more than that. What does a kshetra mean, according to Bhagavad Gita? The field of activities, what is it? Let's read. Krishna has put it very nicely here. Krishna says, Idam Shariram Kshetram Iti Abhidhyate. This body is called the Kshetra. Actually, the body is a little bit more than the Kshetra, but for all practical purposes, we can say that this body is the field of activities. And then Kshetrajna. Who is the Kshetrajna? The spirit soul within the body. We are conscious to some degree of the body. So, and Krishna, of course, he says, I am conscious of all the bodies. You're only conscious of the body that your karma allows you to be conscious of. So Prabhupada is emphasizing that everything is given to us by Krishna's grace. And in the same way, exactly in the same way. There's only Krishna's grace going on here, actually. Because whether we get our power from so-called mystic practices, or whether we get our power from our own karma, it's the same thing. Someone else is controlling it, not us. Triguna Maya Nirantari. The controller of the three modes of material nature is the one who decides how much we know and how much we don't know in any time. So here we're talking about this mystic power, but actually if we study the commentaries very carefully, study the purports here, English purports, we can understand very clearly that really it's only a matter of being blessed, being given a benediction by the Lord, how much you understand, or how much you can control. It's a false front to think that I can get some power by mystic potency, because actually it's only coming from Krishna. Any power, what does he say? Parusham Rishu, the ability in man, Krishna says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, it's coming from him. So whether it's under the guise of so-called mystic perfections or whether it's happening through the agency of careful karma, or whether it's happening directly by Krishna's inscrutable grace. Some, one way or the other, we're only benedicted by Krishna because he's the prime mover. This is the point here. Triadhishware. So, Vishnu, Triadhishware, Chittam Dharayat, Kala Vigrahe. If we fix our minds on Vishnu, the Lord of the Threes, who is the form of time, Sa Ishitvam Avapnoti, then we get this Ishitvam, this ability to control. So, what are we controlling? Three things are listed here. Kshetrajna, Kshetra, and Chodana. We can control, as the translation tells us, we can control other conditioned souls. We can control their decisions, how they decide to act. Because that power is always ours. Generally, all whatever facilities we have, that's coming as a result of either karma or some benediction by Krishna directly, etc. This mystic yoga system is also within Krishna's arrangement. It's within Krishna's will. Those who want it, he gives them that facility. They can cultivate a certain discipline, and they'll get some particular result. But either way, the result is given by Krishna. Just like he says elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, people worship demigods. Demigods are also giving them so many benedictions. But it's Krishna's system, ultimately. The demigods don't really have any independent power to offer benedictions. Therefore, he says, Yajantya vidhi purvakam. This thing is actually coming from me, but they don't know this, and so they're worshipping in an inappropriate manner. The appropriate manner is to be conscious of God. But people create these categories of demigods as if they were independent of the Lord. So, therefore, Prabhupada, or therefore the purport is emphasizing here, we should remember that mystic perfection never enables a living entity to challenge the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. Sometimes we become puffed up. Even if we don't have mystic powers, we become puffed up by our own karma. And things are going okay. That's why every once in a while the administration of our karma has to change. Sometimes when Shukra is administering our karma, then we become very happy and everything's going fine and we get puffed up. Then when Rahu comes or Shani comes and they start administering our karma instead, then everything goes wrong and we become bewildered and we start asking questions. The immaterial nature is arranged like that, but who arranged it? Krishna. He's the Niyantri. Triguna Maya Niyantri. The controller of this Trigunatmaka Maya. So, one cannot obtain such perfections without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Thus, one's controlling power can never disturb the plan of Lord Krishna. We've been discussing this. Now, we may say, well, what about Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu performed great austerities, disciplines, yogic disciplines, and he seemed to get some powers by which he was disturbing the plan of the Lord. So how do we answer that? Who has an idea about this?
Well, it's that Krishna sometimes has to fulfill our will so that we learn not to want something.
Sometimes Krishna has to fulfill our will so that we'll learn not to want certain things. Okay. That's one answer. Another answer is that this itself was Krishna's will. Krishna, remember, Hiranyakashipu isn't really a demon. He's a play demon. So Krishna's just coming and performing his pastimes just to demonstrate to us this same truth, in effect. So one is allowed to exhibit mystic control only within the confines of the law of God. And as we've said already, this mystic power is also within the law of God. It's an authorized process that somebody who wants to invest his time in the disciplines that are required in order to gain these kinds of powers, he can do that. Krishna allows that much. But he'll not transgress the laws of God by his so-called mystic opulences, and he will be severely punished, and the purport gives here. The example of whom? Durvasa. Durvasa was a great mystic yogi. He, in fact, had great powers, more than any of us have. But he offended a devotee, and therefore he had no respite. He was running all over the universe trying to get away from the reactions of his own misbehavior. And even Vishnu would not forgive him. He was instructed, you have to go to the person that you offended, that Vaishnava, Ambarish Maharaj, and beg his forgiveness. This is ultimately what he had to do. So, Kshetrajna, we can control sometimes, by the Lord's grace, the decisions of another living entity, or we can control the Kshetra, means the body or the field of activities, or the upadhis, the designations. Because sometimes we don't know what our field of activities is. We think that it's something other than what it is. This is something that Krishna has also mentioned. In chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita, texts 6 and 7, Krishna talks about the kshetra. He gives a more expanded definition. It means the five great elements. What are those? Five Mahabhutas, great elements.
Earth,
water, fire, air, ether. Plus the false ego, that's ahankara. The intelligence, buddhi. Avyaktam. Avyaktam means the unmanifested. Indriyani dashaikam cha. The ten senses. Pancha chendriya gochiraha. And the mind, then the five sense objects. Then, in addition to that, Icha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukham, Sanghata, Chetana, Triti. Seven more items. That means desire, aversion, happiness, distress. Sanghata means the aggregate, all of everything. Chetana, the living symptoms or consciousness. And dhriti, conviction. These things actually constitute the field of activities. So when we talk about controlling the field of activities, either our own field of activities or someone else's field of activities, this is what we're actually talking about. For simplicity's sake, we can say it means simply the body, but actually you can't really separate the body from these things. As long as you're in a body, you're going to have these five elements, you're going to have false ego intelligence, the unmanifest, the ten senses, the mind, five sense objects, things that you like, things that you don't like, things that you're happy in, your own experience of happiness and distress, the whole thing taken together, life symptoms and your convictions. This is what it means. So a mystic yogi is able to work with these things because he can control them. He can control your convictions. He can control your senses. He can control any of these aspects of the kshetra. And that's only one thing. What does he say here? Many acharyas are saying, kshetra jnanam jivanam kshetranam tad upadhinam cha. This is Sridhar Swami. Or, Kshetram means Shiriram, according to Vijayadvaja Tirtha. Sthavaradi Padartha Samuho Va. That's more like the definition that we get in Bhagavad Gita. Sthavaradi Padartha Samuho, the whole aggregate of all the elements, moving and not moving, etc. Kshetrajna means the jiva. Esham chodanam niyamanam. To the ability to control them. Chodanam, here. The word is used. Chodanam. And most of the acharyas are glossing this word as prerana. Prerana means to impel someone, or to, sometimes we say, to inspire someone. Prerana means inspiration also. But it means to actually make someone do something somehow or other. So that's chodana. We can actually get this ability. We can control the soul's decisions, or we control the functioning of that soul's elements within the kshetra. So this is a very tantalizing sort of prospect. We would all like to do these things for our own purposes. But the trick is this. You don't get this mystic power unless you're worshipping Krishna nicely. So the real point is that we should worship Krishna nicely, and then the understanding obviously is that Krishna is the one who's giving us this benediction. No one else. And if we try to use it without Krishna's sanction, or in a way that is not in harmony with Krishna's desire, then we'll have to suffer. Either we'll be punished directly by Krishna, or the powers will be removed, or we'll have to undergo the reactions of whatever foolish decisions we make. And no one is freed from that. So we've been discussing in the last few days all these mystic powers. This is another one. It also is very clearly based in one's upasana, or worship of the Supreme Lord. Even if we're not worshiping with the best of motives, we can get these things if we have sufficient focus, power of concentration. Chittam dhariyat. Chittam is a special term for the yogis also. But basically for us it means to take our consciousness and focus it on Vishnu. And when we do that, we can get this kind of mystic perfection. The devotees also have these kinds of mystic perfections. We see that they sometimes they can exhibit these as well. I'm going to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or comments, we can discuss anything. 8:30.
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Two actually. One is, you just said it right at the end of the class, that it seemed like in experiencing Krishna consciousness with Tamal Krishna Goswami and we see the Srila Prabhupada, that sometimes they exhibited these powers almost, like, especially in motivating disciples or helping them with their problems. It seems like there were times when we got extra special mercy in it. Maybe it was through these, mercy of the pure devotee that we feel these things.
That sounds okay to me. When Prabhupada was here, also, I was reading Shyamasundar's book, like half the movement, and the kinds of things that devotees were able to do were far beyond them. The kinds of things that Srila Prabhupada was able to do. Anyone who surrenders to Krishna, who knows what Krishna wants and is given a proper instruction from Krishna's representative, when we surrender to that, we become empowered. This is all we're talking about, really, in this whole chapter. This is the fancy English word that we use nowadays, buzzword, empowerment. That's all we're talking about. But the principle should be understood that it comes from mercy, and that mercy comes from surrender. So when we surrender, we get empowered. Whether it's bhakti shakti or some other kind of shakti, it's all coming from Krishna. This is the point. Because he's the Trivanamaya Niyantri, the controller of his three modes of material nature. That's the significance of Triadhishvara in this verse. Okay?
Yeah, one other quick question. The Lord Jagannath is Jagannath Puri is in the Kshetra Dham. So in what sense would the Kshetra
mean? Kshetra.
Kshetra. So different word?
Well, no, it's the same word, but it means many things, like most words in Sanskrit. Most words in Sanskrit have at least one or two dozen definitions. Because if you're talking about a word that's been in continual usage for maybe 5,000 years or more, actually it's eternal. Through usage, the words pick up meaning. There are two ways to look at words. One, linguists look at words. One way is that they they acquire their meaning through usage, convention, and the other is that they acquire their meaning through their grammatical derivation. Either way, it means, you know, so many things. So, kshetra simply means field, just like Kate. We say Kate in Hindi. There's one gentleman, his name is Ketpal, which means he's owning some land, zamindar, protector, pal means protector. So kshetra just means some land. Any field is called land. Kuru kshetra, see? Shri kshetra, that is the land of Lakshmi, because she's the consort of Jagannath, Lakshmi and Saraswati. So, similarly, field, here are field of activities, Prabhupada translates it. It's a broad term, and it can mean the body. More specifically, it means these items that are listed in chapter 13, text 6 and 7, like this. Okay?
Thank
you, Guru. Not a time, you have a question.
Yeah.
Did you work on this translation?
No.
With Rita and Marshall?
Other than proofreading, no.
You did help with proofreading? Because I remember at some point when you were studying Sanskrit, I thought you were...
Yeah, that's... The entry-level Sanskrit means you proofread. So...
Was that the 11th canto?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Proofread? Definitely.
It's beautifully written, you know, it's very beautifully written. No, I was entertained because I was in the temple in that Pujara Guru, I was listening to you saying that it was Srila Prabhupada's report. I was thinking, if you remember some working on that.
Yeah, the format is the same, the topic is the same, it's easier to get them mixed up. But actually this is, at this point I think most of the purports are put together by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. And he did most of the work. Ridana Marj did some. But after the prayers by the personified Vedas, it was largely Gopi Pranadana Prabhu's work.
Oh, remarkable. Just excellent. So beautiful to listen to.
Okay, so unless there's anything else, we can stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.